I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
David Fry, this from Mandy Bell's Twitter account, should give her credit, of MLB.com, at MandyBell02, saying David Fry underwent surgery to repair a ligament in his elbow. I think we all expected this one. Here's the surprising part. The timetable to return as a DH is 6 to 8 months, and it'll take him 12 months for him to be able to return to play the field.
Yeah, I wonder if this impacts anything you do with Josh Naylor. Stay with me for a second. So right. Manzardo was going to be your DH, and Josh Naylor was going to play first base, right?
Yep.
So if David Fry now has to be a DH and can't be that combo utility player that could basically do it all, does that impact anything you do with Naylor?
I mean, it maybe incentivizes you to keep him. I think it opens up DH for John Kensie. Because let's be honest, like, he can kind of play the field a little bit, but I'll be honest, I don't know.
And then Brennan's just in right field, and then that just is what it is.
No, I think you should find somebody to platoon with him.
Okay.
Yeah, or maybe find an everyday center fielder if those things grow on trees. But so
According to Miles Straw sources, they don't grow on trees.
Yeah, yet they don't. We'll find a way. We'll engineer him in a lab. But no, I can see what you're saying.
Just a quick thought. Just hadn't fleshed it out or anything, but I just think it's something that could impact it.
I could see, because hypothetically, we could see David Fry back around the All-Star break with this. Maybe you give John Kensie the first half of the year as DH and see what he can do.
I mean, you have to look at him. When I say the name, you're just going to laugh. But I mean how the Dodgers looked at Shohei, where Shohei could be DH, and that was it, right? Like, yeah. He just can't play the field, not going to pitch, not going to do anything. Like, if he's going to play, it's just as a DH.
I got to say, man, that's when I often say, same guy.
Yeah.
David Fry, yeah. Shohei Ohtani, same guy.
Everybody's different gambling baseball habits, though, is what I hear. But outside of that,
no,
same guy.
No. Their interpreters. Yeah. Their interpreters have... David Fry doesn't have an interpreter. That was a bad joke.
Well, we don't know that.
Maybe.
We can't confirm
maybe
that.
That was part of Austin Hedges' jobs. Now,
on Dua Lipo.
We do have the trade deadline coming up in that. This is the important barrier 24 hours from now. And I would be surprised if all the action happens tomorrow. I think the Browns have a few bits of business to kind of get to here. And Nathan Zagura, Browns analyst, was on with us in the 3 o'clock hour and kind of talked about how he sees the Browns at the deadline here.
You have to be realistic about where you are and then what that means in terms of your ability, you know, to play in the postseason this year. And I think it just means you kind of have to look a little bit more at, you know, next year and 25 and beyond, and figure out who are the key players that are going to be on your team in 2025 and beyond. And then everybody else at that point, you know, you want to see those players and the others, you know, if you can return some value for them, that makes a lot of sense. So I think, yeah, 2-7 and just being realistic about where you are, you're tied for the worst record in the NFL at this point. Playoffs feel very, very unlikely right now. And so, yeah, I think that would help them become more sellers than they could have been.
So I think that was probably a diplomatic answer by Nathan, specific to the playoffs look out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
I think Za'Darius is just gone. Maybe I'm just inundated with him. I think it makes total sense. There's a team out there that needs him. He is really productive this season. I think he might actually get something of value for him. I would be shocked if this thing comes and goes and he's still here.
Are we sure, though, that the Browns are right to go ahead and trade him right now? And what I mean by that is, I think a lot of people, I don't know why, it just feels like in the Njoku conversation and then even the Za'Darius Smith conversation, people are forgetting that he's under contract for next year.
Yeah.
This isn't the idea. A lot of people are like, oh, the season's done, the season's tanked, you got nothing left to do this season. Yeah, you could maybe use him next year. Like, wouldn't Washington, if given the opportunity, wouldn't they want Montez Sweat back on their team?
Yeah, but not Chase Young.
Well, that's because Chase Young is you know, Chase Young. It is what it is. But, like, I don't know. If we're playing with the idea that they're a quarterback away and this team is going to be good next year, and maybe I'm just in la-la land because maybe they're just so far removed than just drafting a quarterback or trading from a quarterback. But if they believe that and they're going to try to sell us on that, then why would you trade Njoku? Why would you trade Za'Darius Smith?
Specific to Za'Darius because he's 32, because he's had a lot of injuries, because
he's on pace for double-digit sacks this year.
So, yeah, but I... How many of those are the system and how many of those are him? How many of those are... This goes back to the Olivier Vernon stuff.
You don't just fall down on double-digit sacks.
Yeah, I mean, when you play against for Miles, like, it gives you a pretty darn good chance.
Clowney had a season where he had just 2 sacks playing with Miles.
And what was the year before?
So he had double-digit sacks.
Double-digit sacks.
But he had a season. He had a whole year where he just had 2.
Like, I'll be honest with you. I think guys like Za'Darius, where are they on the career? In the offseason, you can find them. And again... respectful to a player who is fun. It sounds like I'm trying to down, but here's the thing. You need as many assets as you can possibly get. I actually think you might be able to get like late day 2, maybe, right? Like maybe a third round pick.
I'm happy you said, so the Lions don't have a third round pick for this upcoming year. So you'd probably go fourth round or fifth round or somewhere in that range.
Maybe
you could do a future third round. That's always on the table, obviously. But for this next year, they don't have a third round
pick. But again, I think like early fourth rounder, late third rounder.
I just don't know that you're getting that. And the reason why is that we have, as talked about already today, there are 9 2-win teams. And there are a lot of... Za'Darius Smiths out there, including Jadeveon Clowney, by the way, who we've now brought up.
Who do you think has more value right now?
No, I think Za'Darius does, but I still think if the Lions are looking at it and it's like, oh, well, we can offer you a fourth, and the Browns say no, okay, fine. We'll go to the Panthers and offer a fourth for Jadeveon and just make that what we do. Like, there's like 6 guys that could be that role for the Lions.
Yeah, but I don't think any of them have the current production of Za'Darius.
I agree with that. I think there's a reason why we've heated up the conversations between the Lions and the Browns. Like, it makes sense, but I don't know that the drop-off between Clowney, by the way, was really good last year. I don't know why people are acting like he wasn't. He was really good last year with Baltimore. Like, I just don't know that the drop-off is that immense.
So I to kind of bring this home, I think, like, you're right to say, well, he's got money next year that he's owed.
Yeah, if we think he's a good player, Nick, then why are we just saying, okay, we're going to trade? Well, and that's fine. If you want to tell me that, then I can listen to that.
Yeah.
Okay, that's their thinking. And listen, the Browns have told us they're not in the business of old. That's what happened. Everything with Amari Cooper was around the idea that they know they're an older team. They're trying to get out of the business of being an older team. If Za'Darius Smith is just too old, then he's just too old, and that is what it is.
Well, and you know how, because, you know, every time we talk about the trade deadline, Daryl kind of goes to, they can't. It's the salary cap. I think one of the things that happens in trades all the time is other teams agree to eat some of the money,
yeah,
which allows you to get that future money off your books with a contract restructure. It wouldn't surprise me if that's part of this as well, where you might have to take that fourth rounder because the Lions don't have a third rounder, but you say, listen, I'm going to take the inferior pick so that you can eat a little extra money for me. And then next year becomes about McGuire and Okoronkwo, who, by the way, wouldn't surprise me if his name was floated out there as well. I know he's got money next year, but again, like I think you can start to sell, like, the guy. Oh, Alex Wright's going to be healthy next year, maybe. And I think that's where you go with this. I hear what you're saying, but I'll be honest with you. I think you're starting to think of, let's just see what assets we can get for next year, because we feel like at some point we'll be able to replace Za'Darius either in the aggregate or whether it's in the draft or this, that, the other.
I think that just the part that bothered me was everyone assumed that Za'Darius, they just didn't read his contract. That's the part that I think got to me. It was like, you don't have to make this move. If it was just this year, then you'd be forced to almost. It's like, all right, get whatever you can. This season's going nowhere. You don't have to.
Well, because you made the point that David Njoku and Za'Darius both have future money. Or not.
Yeah, like 1 year after this one, yeah.
But like with Njoku, like that's the one that I'm like, okay, you don't have to make that move. Like, if somebody's going to come along and give you something, I don't mean this stupid and like he's not worth this, but stupid and like these things don't grow on trees, like a second-round pick. Okay. Like Florio said, for the right price, I think was the vernacular that he used.
You thinking Joker's getting a second-rounder?
No, I'm saying that's what it would cost for me to consider.
For you to say, yeah. Realistically, what do you think Njoku is?
I don't know. Because remember,
it's very hard to gauge.
Like, he's
in some circles, he's a top 10 tight end still. And in other circles, he's just what he was this year, which is not very good.
I think most people are going to look at this and go, yeah, the numbers are because look at what, what's around him at quarterback. Like, I mean, remember, Amari wasn't good. He got a third-round pick. Now, Amari's got much more of a track record of 1,000-yard seasons, but, like, I think you got a third-rounder for Amari because Buffalo went and said, oh, yeah, Deshaun's throwing him the football. Now it's Deshaun and Jameis. In the first second that they got to Jameis, all of a sudden David Njoku had a great game.
I guess we also have to know what Njoku would be thinking here as well, right? Like, Njoku seems really happy with the Browns, but there's been times where obviously he's called for trades before. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's upset that in his prime right now they're not winning. It's been a thing.
I think you could say that with anything, though.
For sure.
Because I think people always go to that car.
It's what we said about Miles for how long until Miles came out and said to the contrary.
And by the way, again, like Miles can say that. Who knows what Miles is saying behind closed doors?
I mean, let's put you in David Njoku's shoes, though.
Ooh, those are nice shoes.
Those big shoes.
I would suddenly be a lot more muscular.
Yeah, you got those 14 W's, though. You got some big shoes yourself.
Yeah, but his shoes are bigger. I'm pretty confident his shoes are bigger.
I don't know, it's always really funny when you have like 6'6" people and they have like size 10 shoes. Yeah. It just doesn't add up. I always find that hysterical.
Very nimble feet.
If you're in Njoku, do you want to be traded out of this situation?
I don't think so. I'm making good
money.
You
don't know who the quarterback is going to be at this point.
Let me put it this way. Everything is nothing until it's something.
Or McConaughey.
I've been confused them a lot.
Yeah.
No, everything is like until you present him with a, hey, you can go to Kansas City to play with Pat Mahomes, which is not going to happen. Or you can go to the Chargers and play with Justin Herbert. Like, I don't like, or you can go to Washington and play with Jaden Daniels, who's having, like, I think it depends on the specific. Hey, do you want to sit here and rebuild with us, or do you want to go play with the Dolphins? That's tough because there's not a lot of balls to go around there.
I think it's different, though, in the sense that Myles Garrett knows he's a lifelong Brown. He knows that. He knows he's going to be in the Ring of Honor. He knows he's going to go in the Hall of Fame as a member of the Browns. He knows all these things. Does David Njoku know, like, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, he's going to be in the Ring of Honor for the Browns? I mean, he's been here a long time.
Do you want to trade him? Just say it.
No, I don't want to trade him because I like David Njoku.
Okay, just it seems like you're kind of pushing us towards trading David Njoku.
If David Njoku wanted to, I kind of understand it, though.
Okay, I thank God you didn't end up going that, hey, if he wanted to, I want to do right by the player, which is the fakest take, the fakest thing to say.
I just understand it. Like, the situation's awful right now. Yeah, don't know who your quarterback's going to be. You went through this whole entire stretch of we got this core group and we're going to win a bunch with them. You didn't win.
But here's the thing. I just don't know we're there yet. 216-474-0092. Is Za'Darius Smith a goner for sure? And I'll be honest with you, David should be here unless somebody's willing to do something stupid. That's more where I am. And the uncomfortable conversation that we have to have and start having about Nick Chubb next on 92.3 The Fan. There's also kind of a throw. It was like a rush throw by Jameis. It was like one of those things where, like, you're like in a really important situation, yep. like a presentation at work, and you're like, I got a great idea for you. But first, let's talk to Kevin. And Kevin had no idea you were going to him. You just put Kevin on blast because it's anybody but you. That was that play for Nick Chubb.
That's you with the 640 segment being like, hey, so what did you want to discuss today? And it's like,
almost every day. Yeah. Hey, what do you think about the election? That's 640.
Tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
I got the bet.
Yeah.
So you said, we kind
Mac
of talked
took
about
took his head at you, by the way. Mac was disgusted you didn't pick up on that.
Yeah.
You're one of the quickest people I know, and you're just a no chance.
I definitely want you're one of the quickest people I know into the new open, but I think you're a little bit more worried about Nick Chubb than I am.
I am very worried about Nick Chubb. I don't know that it matters now at this point. I really don't. I don't know. It might just feel like it's awesome to see Nick Chubb out there, and they're just going to keep doing that, but he doesn't look particularly good in these three games. If it was a yards per attempt, if we just put that into the like an NFL rushing database, he would be well below the last in the league. Like we are hitting. I don't think people understand how low his yards per attempt are relative to what normal running backs are. Like when Joe Mixon was averaging just under 4 yards a carry in Cincinnati, that's when they're like, "Oh, we got to get rid of Joe Mixon. Like he might be done here." The fact that Nick Chubb is nowhere close to even that, it's not good, Nick.
216-474-0092. Are you starting to worry about Nick Chubb and whether we're going to see old Nick Chubb ever again? At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. So is this a place I can have a little bit of nuance to it?
I hope so.
Because I don't think it's just about Nick Chubb.
Okay, offensive line?
I think the offensive line is really bad. I still think they're figuring out the run fits. And I think San Diego, or the Chargers were getting such good pressure yesterday that it was almost like Nick Chubb was just running right into it.
By the way, they were a team that entered that game second lowest in pressure rate in the entire NFL.
Not no more.
Well, that was the type of game that every area, if you're a Chargers fan, you're like, we got a lot better because they did.
I'm kind of treating this for Chubb like I think some other people are, where he's kind of meeting the bar that I had for him. Like, I am seeing, you know, being able to break tackles. I'm seeing a little bit of wiggle here and there.
Okay.
Like, I wasn't expecting Nick Chubb to come out of the gate with this scenario and fix things. So I'm not surprised he's not doing it, and I'm not alarmed that we haven't had that big run yet.
Okay, but if his name was Jerome Ford, you'd call for him to be benched.
Well, yeah, but it's different. Like, Jerome Ford, would he be coming off the second major knee injury?
If he was averaging the 2.6 yards per carry that he averaged yesterday on 16 carries, yeah, you'd be like, what is going on with Jerome Ford?
But he's not. And, like, you don't have to make that. Like,
Nick Chubb is, though.
One of the gifts that you've got at 2-7, I'm going to continue to call that a gift, there is clarity in that, is you can continue to put Nick in a position to try and find himself. And if you continue to see, okay, that was a really good run, this was a really good run, all right, maybe the O-line was problematic here. Like, in a way, I know this is going to be the worst analogy ever, but in a way, he's become Deshaun. In that, until it's apparent that Nick Chubb is the problem, I got no problem sending that guy out there and giving him opportunities to find himself at least to the end of the season. Now, if you get to the end of the season and it's, was it 2.6 yards per carry yesterday and minus 4 yards of receiving, it's a conversation. It's a real conversation. And by the way.
Well, it wouldn't be a conversation then. He just would no longer be. I mean, I doubt he'd even. Who picks him up at that point in the NFL even?
I wouldn't be. Like, because here's the thing.
The Browns don't bring him back if that's what he's doing.
Everything's relative to price. If the Browns. Because again.
Not at 2.6 yards per carry.
Well, yeah, but not. Like on a vet min, you're saying they wouldn't bring him back. He's arguably the second most popular player since 99.
2.6 yards per carry, you're just not functional, though. Like, I need to stress this home. I think you think that he's averaging like 4 yards a carry and it's acceptable because it might be low, but it's like the low end of the NFL. 2.6 yards a carry that's like you averaging 115 yards a game as a quarterback.
By the way,
it's so low that I can't bring that back. That is telling me that the second major surgery did something to him. And it just has to be what it is.
Yeah, but this goes back to the point of it's not just about Nick right now. Like, I'm not telling you that he looks great. All right? I'm not telling you I see the otherworldly burst. And by the way, for the season, it's 2.7 yards.
Yeah.
Yesterday, it was 2.6. Give him the extra 0.1 yard.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But, like, unless I look at this and go, man, he's getting the spots. Right? He's seeing it. He's just not getting there quick enough. Unless I'm seeing that more often than I'm seeing bad O-line play, this, that, and the other. Like, you've got time.
There was back-to-back runs they gave him on what was a second and third down, and it was just he got nowhere. It wasn't going anywhere, and it killed the entire drive. Like, I can't give him the ball in important moments right now.
Yes, you can. Yeah,
I'm glad you feel that way. I mean, again, if you want to treat this like winning doesn't matter for the end of the season and we're just trying to do this evaluating thing, then okay, fine. But like, if you're trying to win a game, you can't on 3rd and 3 right now, you can't give him the ball.
By the way,
it's not something I've ever said about Nick Chubb before. It's just the reality we're in right now.
Yeah, and this is arguably the worst offensive line he's ever played in front.
Right, but you're not going to get the yards, though. It doesn't matter if it's the worst or not.
No.
Like, you're telling me he's not going to get the yards, would you give it to him?
Why do you keep doing it? Because the hope that one day he does. Like, that's what the whole point of working back from an injury is he might be. I don't think it's delusional to think two weeks from now he might be better. He might get stronger as he goes along.
And like, that's the hope. The hope is that he does.
It's not hope.
But I think, like, that's what it is. I think it's hope, yeah.
No, hope is you thinking they were going to, that beating Baltimore was some sort of transcendent turnaround moment in the season.
Hope.
Like, this is looking at a guy who has been what he's been and saying, all right, he's coming off a major injury. That O-line is not consistent. They're not maybe the guys that they were even 2 years ago. And you got a quarterback who clearly is just not very good.
I think Derrick Henry broke a lot of people in some of these discussions because Derrick Henry is not supposed to be leading the league in yards per attempt and leading the league in rushing touchdowns and leading the league in yards per game. At the age he's at and the volume that Tennessee ran that man into the ground, it's not supposed to be happening. And I think people are equating to What happened with Derrick Henry should be happening to Nick Chubb, and it's just not right now.
I don't think anybody's equating. I don't think anybody's thinking about Derrick Henry. They're thinking of Nick Chubb. I don't think anybody gives a damn about what Derrick Henry's doing when it comes to Nick Chubb.
I mean, we're talking about the aged running back. This is always a conversation with every running back that gets up to this part of the age.
I think this is low-hanging fruit.
It's always a conversation, Nick. How is it not?
Because you're like an 11. I think Dalvin we should be at a 6.
Dalvin Cook had the same exact numbers from touchdowns down that Nick Chubb had. And then Dalvin Cook was gone off of Minnesota because they didn't want to pay him $9 million a year.
You want to see
and he
Deontay
went to the
Foreman?
Jets and was just done. He was
you
just done.
You want to see Jerome Ford?
Dalvin Cook was as impressive
Strong?
In Minnesota as what Nick Chubb did here. And it was just, that's it. It happens sometimes.
So but to what end?
It happens sometimes.
It does. And also, by the way, guys get better when they come back off injury over multiple weeks. I'm not saying that's going to happen here. All right? But if you said right now, Nick Chubb gets better as this thing goes along, or Nick Chubb continues averaging 2.7 yards per carry, I'm going to say he starts to look better as the weeks go on.
Is he going to get to at least 4 yards a carry by the time we're 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks
from now?
Stop making
it about the yard. It's about how he looks.
Part of it.
It's about, but it's not the end-all, be-all. When you have crappy O-line play, he's 3 weeks, 3 games
into it. Because we're going to have a better offensive line all of a sudden next year? If you want to bring him back next year, do you think we're going to have this great offensive line in the snap of a finger?
I would imagine there are things you can do.
Probably going to play behind a pretty bad offensive line next year.
Yeah, okay.
If you bring him back, which I don't know that you will.
All right, but getting back to it, nobody expected the offensive line to be this bad because Bill Callahan didn't matter that much, according to Kent Carmen and everybody else out there. All of a sudden, it looks like Bill Callahan matters. So I'm imagining if you got an offensive line coach and knew his head from his ass, you might be all of a sudden you get better. These football players didn't forget how to football. Maybe they're not being asked to do the things that they're good at. Maybe the O-line coach doesn't know what run fit the personnel. So yes, the offensive line can get better simply by changing some things around them or changing a few guys on the O-line. But that's another conversation. This is about Nick Chubb now.
Yeah.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
11.
I'm not
like
an
11.
You asked me how I feel about Nick Chubb, and I was honest about it.
No, you were starting to worry about it. Why?
Because we're three weeks into this, and he's averaging 2.7 yards a carry.
It's over.
It's over. The season's over?
This is now about, can you get Nick Chubb back to it? Can you find out who you have on this defense that's worth keeping
I'm
around?
I'm not holding on hope that Nick Chubb is going to be anything that we've ever seen Nick Chubb be before. I'm not holding out hope for that. I think that ship...
I'm neither way. I just don't, it doesn't matter as much.
I'm confused by the logic.
Having
there.
A definitive answer on Nick Chubb, that's no longer, we don't need one. We don't need one.
Who's giving you a definitive answer? I'm just saying he hasn't been good, and I don't trust him right now in important spots.
Well, yeah, but see, when you go to, who cares about the important spots? He's earned those spots. And listen, if we're talking next year, that's a whole nother conversation, and we got 8 more games to give into what you're talking about. But right now, you can't put him in those spots. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can.
I still try to win games. I don't trust Nick Chubb the way you trust Nick Chubb right now.
No, I trust the person. Now we're having a different conversation. I trust the person to be worthy of that moment. And if the football player, because his body is broken down, if he doesn't do it, that's fine. I'll live with losing with Nick Chubb. I'll live with losing with Denzel, who did or didn't blow 2 coverage yesterday. I'll live with that. Because those dudes have meant a lot to this town, and if you were winning, it's a totally valid conversation. If you were 6-2, 7-2, and having a game then, I think it's a totally different conversation.
Okay. I'm sorry, I presented these conversations like we were, I don't know, trying to win the games, and we were acting as if they were having a chance to be competitive and all these other type of things, and we know they're not competitive. We know that, but I'm not putting Nick Chubb out there to get 15, 16 carries if it's 2.7 yards a carry.
Okay, what
just
about
because
James?
I like seeing the number 24 out in the field.
So what's the better option?
It just doesn't seem...
What's the better option?
What do you mean, what's the better option? You put whatever running back you have that's healthy out there and you go with it. I know Jerome Ford has been banged up. I know. Deontay Foreman's been banged up. We've had a lot of injuries there.
So you're just sitting Nick Chubb because it feels good?
I'm not saying sit Nick Chubb. I'm just saying don't expect on 3rd and 3 to give him the ball and get the first down.
Oh, then what are you going to do on 3rd and 3? What are you going
to
do?
You're going to have to throw the ball. If the only way you can get 3 yards, you're going to have to throw the ball.
There's so Jameis can give it
away? There's going to be points in the game and points in these games where you have to understand, if you rely on Nick Chubb, you're relying on the wrong guy. As of right now, after 3 weeks, that Nick Chubb is not winning you football games.
And how do you change it? By continuing to give him those spots.
Oh, I'm telling you, he's been so bad. If it continues to be this, 2.7 yards a carry, he will not be on the roster next year. There's no chance he'll be on the roster next year.
I just banged my cup over. I feel like we're dancing in 3 different conversations. The conversation is right now, how concerned are you about Nick Chubb?
And I told you 12 times, I'm worried about Nick Chubb. I'm worried about what we've seen in 3 weeks. Maybe I was wrong for expecting Nick Chubb to be better than what is right now the worst statistical running back in the game.
Yeah, I think you were wrong to put high expectations on a guy at 28.
Not high, just not worst in the league.
Yeah, well, okay, but again... Sorry.
Average 4 yards a carry, and you can be the 30th running back in the NFL at 4 yards a carry. It's a different story.
Gosh, it's a 2-7 team. Like, give him those opportunities. Try and give him every opportunity to show. And if he's washed, he's washed.
You just want to watch a guy that with the number 24 that you loved watching play, and that's it.
Let's be honest. We're playing Jameis because he gets some yards.
No, Jameis is going to
throw an interception.
He's better than DTR. He's better than He's better than Bailey Zappi.
He's
he gives
not
you a
good
chance
enough.
To win games.
That's the bottom
that's
line.
That's why you play Jameis. He can
he's
get a chance
not
to win games.
Good enough.
Nick Chubb doesn't give you a chance to win games right now.
It makes you feel good because he can give you 230 empty calories a game, yardage-wise, and then we can feign this idea that they were competitive. Who cares?
I mean, you admit it. On 3rd and 3, you just want to see Nick Chubb get the ball because it makes you feel good. What is that?
No.
You know he can't get the 3 yards. You just want to feel good in the moment.
I want to see if, as he gets better, meaning as he gets healthier, if he gets better. That's why you do it. Teams do this with players all the time. You ride through the disappointment.
Do I believe that he's going to get better? And I told you now. My answer is I don't believe that he's all of a sudden going to be in a 4.5 yards per game guy. He's 2.7 right now.
2.7. 216-474-0092.
It matters because it's so obnoxiously bad that I have to keep saying it.
Yeah, and it's three. Like, at what point are we just going to give to sample size and the guy's coming off an injury? Like, that's like it's right. Again, it's not just one thing. We just continue to ping on the same 4 ideas here. Like, okay, they're 2-7. Okay, he's coming off a major injury. Yes, the numbers are bad. You're 100% right on that. But you're going to keep giving him ball in 3rd and 3 because it's better than Jameis throwing a 30-yard interception. It's better than Deontay Foreman running into the ass of the right guard. Like, yep, it's not great, but it's probably better than the production you're going to get from anybody else.
Sad part is right now, I don't believe that is. I don't believe it's better than giving the ball to Deontay Foreman as of right now, and I don't believe it's better a higher percentage chance of completing the first down and getting the first down than letting Jameis actually just throw the ball.
Are you worried that Nick Chubb is washed? We'll get to all of you next on 92.3 The Fan. JP's making a statistical case here, and I can say statistical case here eventually. He's making a statistical case about his concern about Nick Chubb, and I kind of think one of the few nice things about kind of not having expectations to win every single game anymore is I think it allows you time to truly evaluate Nick Chubb. And I think given that the O-line ain't great, given that I still think some of the concepts that they're trying to remember, like some of the new running concepts are things like the run fits, kind of are new to Nick Chubb as well because they blocked a certain sort of way under Bill Callahan for 4 years.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of new. He's coming off a major injury. And at some point going forward in the final 8 games, you need to see it. I just don't think we're there yet. And I think we're...
I know, but I'm happy you're at least acknowledging that you haven't seen it. I'm happy that you're at least acknowledging... Because I feel like a lot of Browns fans are like, oh, Nick Chubb looked great. How about that explosive... Check notes, 10-yard run. You know
11,
what I mean?
Give him the 11 yard.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of felt very... Like, did we watch the same thing? Are we watching the same thing? 2.7 yards? Are we watching the same thing? And Jerome Ford, by the way, 5.2 yards per carry this year. Like, if we're talking about evaluating things, if those carries are going to Nick Chubb that aren't going to Jerome Ford, who had 2 carries yesterday, I don't know. Are we really evaluating the way we need to be evaluating?
216-474-0092. Let's get to Jim in Strongsville. What's up, buddy? What you got for us?
Nick, when did you start hosting this with Paul D. Podesta over there? keep your baseball nerd stats in
Jim,
baseball.
We bring one of the simplest stats of all time.
Squat your house. Nick Chubb squat your whole house. You keep his name out of your mouth.
If he could, if he could squat and then move it 4 yards a carry, I'd give him the world. But he can't.
He's not going anywhere. Who cares? It's like you got a bone to pick with Nick Chubb. Leave the guy alone. He's a saint. He's done nothing but been great to this city. But you got this bone. You want to grind on the guy? Leave him alone, or I'll send him over to your house and squat your house.
Phrasing, Jim. We appreciate you.
So aggressive.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to get a lot of not aggressive here, fella.
So aggressive.
Like, I'll let you choose.
Wait. No, can we at least just acknowledge? This is wild to me, by the way. I understand Nick Chubb got carte blanche in this world, and especially for Browns fans, but we're just going to let him average 2.7 yards a game and yards a carry, excuse me, and be basically useless in the NFL world until the season's over? We're just gonna do that?
Yeah. Yep. Yes, we are.
In between the break, I looked up rushing numbers and yards per attempt, and I'm not Dee Podesta here. This is very simple, common things. You know what 2.7 would put him as?
What's that?
There are 46 qualified rushers in pro football right now. That would put him below 46.
All right, is he qualified?
46 is 2.9.
Is he qualified?
He's not qualified. Okay. That's why there's only 46. He is not qualified.
Let's get him qualified then. I'll let you choose it.
My
this is choose your own adventure. We got time for one more
call.
What
a sad state of affair this is, where we're like, we're just happy.
That's the thing that's
just,
the sad.
Yeah, we're just happy to see Nick Chubb. We're so happy to see Nick Chubb that we'll just let him
These arrogant Ivy League clowns took an organization that when they took over had everything they needed to win, and they drove it into the side of a mountain. And I got Nick Chubb's the sad state.
No. The sad state is the defense the callers are giving right now. That's the sad state. They're defending Nick Chubb right now, which I understand why. But we can't let Nick Chubb in important third and three plays. Unless you just don't care about winning, that's fine. Just tell me you don't care about winning at all, and then the conversation ends.
No. See, this is bull.
Just tell me you don't care
this
about winning,
bull.
And then the conversation
they
ends.
They told you they don't care about winning when they trotted Deshaun out there. When it was more about his contract and fulfilling whatever, they told you. So we can't have it both ways.
So we're fighting fire with fire here, is what you're saying. We're fighting bad logic with bad logic.
But if you sacrifice the season to football gods.
You're accusing them of being awful because they don't want to actually try to win, but you're doing the same exact thing.
Yeah, no, because they already lost.
Is the same thing.
They already lost.
You're not trying to win.
It's 2-7.
Tell me you're not trying to win.
They put you here with their decisions.
You put yourself with their decisions in corroborating with this.
Did you just try and like Tom Cruise me and like Nicholson?
I hit my thumb on the mic too while doing so.
No.
Did I Tom Cruise you? No.
They sacrificed the season out of ego and everything else and contract and everything that brought that just poisonous 3 years here. So the idea that fans now, the one thing that might make you want to watch games on Sunday is Nicholas Jamal Chubb. He could average 1.2 yards. 0.0. Fat, drunk, and stupid. There's no way to go through life. 0.0.
And they know it. I mean, why they restructured his deal and given the opportunities they're giving him right now makes complete sense.
Yeah.
People like you will be like, that's the reason to watch on Sunday for Nick Chubb.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. If you're going to polish a turd a week ago by saying, oh, well, we beat the Ravens, everything's different. Don't a week later turn... I'm not saying you're turning on Nick Chubb, but don't a week later be surprised when fans are saying, you know what? Yep, he's struggling, but he's coming off a major injury and giving him every excuse. If one guy in the entire organization has earned every excuse, it's Nick Chubb.
If qualified right now, he'd be dead last in football.
Is he qualified?
No, but he's still dead last in football.
The 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.